Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. Sirius XM Channel 80, presented by Progressive Insurance. All phone guests on the Goodyear Hotline. Credit to 620 WTMJ and WBAL AM 1090 for those calls as the Packers and Ravens picked up wins. However, it was a big weekend in New York as the Giants and Jets, both going nowhere this season, picked up wins as hurt their draft position. Let's start with the Giants. It is New York City. It always starts with the Giants. Daniel Jones threw for 202 yards and a touchdown in a 13-7 win over the Eagles, key that it seemed like the Giants just didn't want.
Well, I mean, a win is a win is a win. You got to take the win and run to the hills. I just it wasn't a very good football game. In fact, the touchdown that he threw to the tight end almost slipped out his legs. He caught it with his legs. But, progress, man. You know, this progress, and it's – they're not going to playoffs, and it's a situation where they're evaluating the talent moving forward right now to see what they have, to see what this is about, what type of players that they got for the next general manager that'll be coming in, because they've got to mix some stuff up. I don't necessarily know that Joe Judge should be sent his walking papers, but the general manager probably, you know, he's an older guy who's had some health issues in the past. Maybe it's time for him to just retire, not necessarily fire him, but kick him upstairs somewhere, maybe be a consultant of some sort. But that's pretty much the way that I saw it.
Yeah, by the way, Gettleman has had health problems. And, like, you know, fandom and rooting for things aside, obviously, like, goes without saying, but let's say it, everyone wishes Gettleman well and hope that he's, you know, healthy and happy. But, like, when you say kick him upstairs and become a consultant, I'm all for that as long as he's on another team, Key. If he's a consultant for another team, preferably in the NFC East. If he's a consultant for another team in the NFC East,
give
I'd
him
be
the
very
Dallas.
Happy. Yeah, yeah. Send him
the
Dallas.
Think Jason Garrett. Take him back. Take
Dave
Gettleman. I'll say here were a couple things that were true. The game was ugly. I feel like a lot of Giants games are ugly. The Freddie Kitchens new era, the offense with the exception of – you know, guys like Kenny Galladay and Evan Ingram being targeted more than they've been throughout most of the year. It was still abysmal. The running game was anemic, right? With the exception of Saquon Barkley busting out for a big run. I think it was like a 40-plus yard run. Or Daniel Jones going for like 14 yards. We barely got anything on the ground. The defense
couldn't stop anything on the ground.
Couldn't stop anything on the ground. And I do feel like the Eagles gave away the game. Eagles gave away the game more than the Giants won it. But I'm willing as a Giants fan to say we beat our rival, our in-division rival, and that means something. I don't know if it gives me sign that we're making progress. I think we're just floating. We're treading water. And I think we're not going to really make progress until we have huge sweeping change this offseason.
Yeah. You look at the Giants' schedule this year. Like, you look at some of these losses, really, obviously, like, more than the wins because there haven't been that many wins. But you lose to the Browns early, lose to the Patriots. These are close games, though. Get stomped by the Broncos, lose to Washington close, lose to the Falcons. Like, a lot of these are winnable games that the Giants managed to lose early in the season. And Key, they've done that a lot in recent seasons. Like, before you turn around, the season's kind of over. And then in different stretches, they play well enough to think, hey, you know what, maybe they got something here, but this is the fifth consecutive year this has happened, man. Like, how much patience are they supposed to have?
Well, I think, you got a quarterback who's young. They've had some injuries on the offensive line. Saquon Barkley's back now. You know, he's been in and out of the lineup. You're just trying to figure things out. You got a head coach only in his second year. So I think you got to let it play itself out a little bit longer before we just start getting rid of everybody.
Meantime, Nick Sirianni, the Eagles head coach, was asked about Jalen Hurts' play at the postgame presser.
it's never going to be a B, C, or D if you turn over three times, right? And so, obviously he didn't play good enough, and we didn't coach good enough, and it's all of us, right? It's never just one guy. We're going to look it through that tape, and we're gonna have to make those corrections from that tape. But when you turn the ball over three times, again, there's different things at play there. But running the ball was good.
Yeah, I mean,
running the ball was well. I mean, I don't know why they didn't start off the game doing that.
Yeah, here's a question.
Just dominating with that nasty O-line they have, just let Miles go to work. Go to work. That's what you do. I don't know why they had Jalen Hurts throwing the ball as much as he did. And I will say this, down the stretch, and I feel him on this because I saw it in DeVonta Smith, the fact that he didn't get targeted down the stretch blows my mind. You're talking about a prized rookie receiver that is the leader in receiving yards and catches, wasn't targeted in the last two big-time drives. And I know that Jalen –
on a day where we see Waddle balling out, yeah.
And I know Rieger can make – I mean, there are two guys – I mean, guys have to make catches because I know people are going to kill Jalen Hurts about this. But, like, there were things that you start wondering about Nick Sirianni. You're like, all right, well, this is by your design. Like, you can control this too. It's not like Jalen Hurts is saying, he's calling audibles at the line of scrimmage and improvising all the time. Like, these are play callings from Nick.
In the other locker room – by the way, the Giants' secondary played well. They couldn't stop the run, so of course they don't run the ball. The Eagles, they did everything to give the Giants that game. The Giants reluctantly took it. So in the other locker room, the Jets picked up a 21-14 win over the Texans.
Yay!
Key, you've done your key observations, but what do you take away from that win?
Nothing. They played the Texans.
Yeah.
And the Texans are a bad football team. Mm-hmm. And they still,
the Jets.
It's a bad game. It was just two bad teams playing against each other. Somebody had to win, right? And I think Zach Wilson, he fought through, but more reps he gets, the better he'll be. That's why I was always for playing him to begin with. Give him an opportunity to get his feet wet and see where things go. And they won. That's it. That's what you take away from. I mean, they ain't got no players, man. Bad team.
I don't know.
I'll say this. Without Michael Carter, I mean, they still had a pretty dominant run game. When you think about that three-man rotation, Tevin Coleman, Ty Johnson, guy from the practice squad that they call up, I think Austin Walter. I give them a lot of credit for the fight and the resolve that they showed.
I mean, I root against the Jets actively, to tell you. I'm a Giants fan. So, in New York, you pick a team, real New York sports fans, and you root against the other team in town. So the Jets fans' misery makes me happy. I'd like to lick the tears off their face, Jay, like Eric Cartman did in that South Park episode.
They won. They get better. Every time you get meaningful reps, you get better. And I think that's how they have to approach the rest of the season. Meaningful reps, win or lose, gets better. The game will slow down for you. They're having a big offseason, mm-hmm. training camp, and see where they go next year.
But where do you think they're going,
Keith? Conversation.
I get what you're saying. I agree. But where do you, if you had to guess, like if I had to guess, Jets ain't going anywhere great. And at this rate, neither are the Giants. But like we're talking about the Jets. What do you suspect based on what you've seen so far? Obviously, there's not enough information to be like make an accurate prediction. But what's your gut?
Well, they've got to get some help on the defensive side of the ball. They got draft picks. They've got to maybe get another big time wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
They got the picks to do that. They got money to spend in free agency. And you just – that's how you build. And you build around this quarterback. You're not fully going to really get a good grasp of him for at least another two seasons about what he is because he'll make a throw here and you go, he got a great arm. Then he'll make a throw another time. You're like, man, why did they even draft this dude?
Yeah. I mean, by the way, there are some fans like, why are we even winning at this point, Giants or Jets? We want a draft pick and everything. But – there's no transformational player that's easily identifiable to me in the draft right now. Forget about the fact, because Key can go on about, like, you cannot play football to lose. It's just not the way it works. And it's not like basketball where you can tank. I get that. But I could understand if it's like there's some amazing, he's different than everyone else pick at number one, and you wind up with the fourth pick and you're mad, or the second pick and you're mad based on some meaningless win. But it's not like that in this draft, not in an obvious way anyway. You want to win. You want to see what you got. You want to develop and get better. And
the Jets should be encouraged and the Giants should be happy today, like this morning. But the long-term view for the Giants is not that great. And the Jets, it's a big question mark.
Key, what would you need to see from Robert Saleh next year in order for a conversation not to start circling around calling for his job? I mean, it's already happening now, but what would
you
need
to see? Are they calling for his job now?
No, I'm just saying people talk radio, you know, writers have been talking about, is he the right guy for the job? I know you've made mention of that multiple times on our show. I'm just curious what you would need to see from him next year to solidify his position as the Jets head coach for the future.
You know, me saying is he the right guy is not me calling for his job, but I hope nobody's calling for his job because it's way too early to even tell what type of coach he's going to be. Defensively, the defense has got to be better because that's the reason he got hired. That's his side of the ball. He's supposed to be a defensive-minded guy, and if he's a defensive-minded coach, that side of the ball should be the strength of the team. I think that with him, he's got to make sure that Joe Douglas is getting him the right personnel so he can be successful.
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80. We're asking on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed, at Key, J, and Max, whether Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, both or neither is more likely to make it back to the Super Bowl. So why don't we do this? Let's play either, neither, or both.
Neither, either, neither, or both.
All right. Either, neither, or both. Brady, Belichick getting to the Super Bowl, Key.
Is this year or just in general?
This year.
Neither. Yeah. Either. I'm going to take the either. Yeah. It's going to either be Belichick or Brady. One of them's going back. And the one of them that I think is going to go back is Bill Belichick. Wow. I think he'll go back before Tom Brady. I like the way Tom Brady is fighting with the Tampa Bay Bucks. They got a great team. They got players hurt. They're going to get those guys back. But I think it's just a harder path. The Dallas Cowboys hopefully will turn things around for their sake. The Rams as well. The 49ers are getting better. Arizona, they've been without two of their top players in DeAndre Hopkins along with Kyler Murray. So you start to look at that. We know what Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers are. It's harder. When you look at the AFC, it's just an easier path to me. I don't think Bill Belichick is afraid of Lamar Jackson, even though he is a lightning rod as a player. You turn the ball over four times to New England Patriots, they're going to put 28 points on you. So it's like, you know, you look at that. He's beaten Kansas City before. The Bills, they're in the dogfight for the division with. So you could just go and hand pick the AFC. It's just an easier path for Bill.
I'll go neither. Just odds would say that no rookie quarterback has ever won the Super Bowl, right, or been taking their team to the Super Bowl. And then just thinking about how tough the NFC is for Tampa Bay, I would say neither. But I got to tell you, the fan of me, considering what I saw that first matchup with Adele and all the hype going into it, I really wish for both.
Yeah,
I really want
no
both.
Doubt. No doubt. I want to go neither, but I look at the NFC. Who really scares the Bucks in the NFC? The Packers? I guess the Packers and Bucks are kind of equally likely.
Cardinals?
The Cardinals, maybe. Cardinals, Rams, Cowboys. I don't see any of those teams in the Bucks like going in. I think they're favored to beat those teams. Cardinals would be interesting. I'm going to say neither, actually, now that I'm thinking about it. The odds are under 50-50. So I'm going to say neither. But, boy, you're right, Jay. Both would be something. Ugh, either, neither, or both.
Please.
Mac Jones, Bill Belichick winning Coach of the Year and Rookie of the Year, Key.
Both.
Yeah.
Both. I think, you know, Bill Belichick, based on last year, Mac Jones, based on the way he's been playing, he's a quarterback. He certainly has caught up to Chase, a receiver in Cincinnati, to be able to say Jamar Chase, he certainly caught up to him to be able to say early on that Chase was probably going to be the front runner of Rookie of the Year, but he's a quarterback and he's winning. He'll probably win the division, and they're going to want to give it to him. They want to give it to him.
I would say either. I definitely see Mac Jones pretty much locking up the Rookie of the Year. As it relates to Coach Belichick, I would go as of right now, Coach Harbaugh. Just saying, considering the depletion of injuries, that the Ravens have had, what Lamar Jackson has had to do, how he got that defense to respond. I would probably go Baltimore and John Harbaugh for coach of the year as of right now, but it's right there.
See, two. I think you just made the argument why it's both. It's everyone's going to see that as Lamar Jackson carrying a hurt team. If it was easy to do what Mac Jones is doing, everyone would do it. It's really hard to play mistake-free football as a rookie. You know, like, it's hard. He's going to win Rookie of the Year easy. I think he deserves it, by the way. And then Coach of the Year, Belichick, come on, especially with the narrative, you know, the story of Brady and Belichick, and he went 6 in a row and the whole thing. It's going to be both. Either, neither, or both. We'll get to the Super Bowl with the Rams going forward. Stafford, McVay, Keyshawn Johnson.
Is that this year or in the future?
Oh, no, going forward, going forward. They're going to get there at some point.
No. No, I don't think either one will get this crew will with McVay and Stafford will not get back to the Super Bowl.
Wow. Jay?
I say they will. Look, it's obviously they're all in. Things have not been operating at a high level for them offensively, considering what Matthew Stafford has gone through the last couple of games. But I don't just count this team out because they haven't looked right over three games. We've had a lot of teams in the NFL that haven't looked right.
I'm going to go with both. I'm going to say it's not going to be this year, but I think at some point in Stafford, McVay, in their career with the L.A. Rams, they will at least get to a Super Bowl. I'm thinking that pair could be there for the next 3, 4, 5 years at a very high level. So I'm going to say both will get there. Either, neither, or both.
You got to think about it, though,
yeah.
Max.
Yep.
Von Miller's getting older. He's on a rental.
Yep.
Aaron Donald's getting older.
They don't have draft capital.
They don't have draft capital.
Yeah, that's the big thing.
They haven't really found Cam Akers got hurt. Robert Woods is coming off an ACL. And so it's a lot.
He's talking me out of it a little bit.
And on top of that, the conference, man.
Yeah, it's tough. I don't know. I believe in McVay. And Stafford, look, Stafford can't. The whole thing is don't lose your first playoff game, brother. You can't do it. It's going to be a disaster if that happens. Got at least one playoff. Oh, Key, don't even say it. Either, neither, or both. The Giants next year are going to have Joe Judge, Dave Gettleman, either, neither, or both.
I would say either. Dave Gettleman is going to retire, and Joe Judge will get another shot at building his staff the right way. And bring somebody in that's competent with him that can certainly get him some more players.
Jay, either, neither, or both, Judge, Gettleman with the Giants next year.
Either. I think Judge will have another year, but I'm with Key. I think Gettleman will be the first to go. I think he'll be going after this season.
Either. It's going to be either. Judge will be there because the Giants don't like to hire and fire coaches. They've made a lot of bad decisions recently, but they like stability. And I got to say – that Gettleman, I don't wish that he's unemployed. I think, Jay, as we were discussing it earlier, that I think Gettleman should absolutely have a job with complete control of another team in the NFC East. I think either Washington or Dallas or Philadelphia should hire Gettleman to be the team president with absolute autonomy to make all the moves for that team. Nothing else would please me more as a Giants fan. Either, neither, or both. Will be the quarterback for their current team next year. Big Ben, Aaron Rodgers, Key, either, neither, or both, will be their franchise's quarterback next year.
Either. It is Aaron Rodgers, Big Ben will retire. So Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers because the Packers will be right there in the Super Bowl this year. And if they're in the Super Bowl, he's going to stay. He's having too much fun.
Jay?
I don't expect Big Ben to be back, but I got no idea. I got to be honest with you guys. I'm so tired of speculating on what Aaron Rodgers chooses to do.
Nevertheless, you must.
I mean, if he has his foot up in the camera, if it's called COVID toe, he's joking around, people write articles on it. I have no idea what the hell is going on inside the mind of Aaron Rodgers, and I'm not going to pretend to anymore.
Okay. Either, neither, or both, nevertheless.
Jeez, you're the worst.
Yeah, either, neither, or both.
Either, fine.
Either? I'm going to say neither. I think Aaron Rodgers is out of there, and I think – Big Ben already retired. Someone forgot to tell him. You know, like they say that you don't retire from football. Football retires
Big Ben
you.
Was just killing football. It a couple weeks ago, and everybody was saying, oh, he's doing his
Because he
thing.
Can still make quick decisions and dink and dunk here and there, but you can only go so far with that. Either, neither, or both will win their conference.
Both.
Jim Harbaugh, John Harbaugh, Key. You still say both?
Both.
Yeah, they're getting ready to play Iowa, man. But it would be Michigan that would lose to Iowa in the Big Ten championship. That would exactly what would happen. He would just stub his toe. But Baltimore should win the division. I know it's tough. Cincinnati beat them head-to-head already in Baltimore. But I think that they, you know, Cincinnati's a year or so early. I think that they still make the playoffs. They just don't win the division. I think Baltimore wins the division.
All right, who you got, Jay?
I'm with you, Key. I agree with Key on that. Key, you put it out there, that juju. Just Michigan loses to – I'm telling you, if that happens, oh, my goodness.
Yeah, Iowa goes in there and beats them with that ugly football.
I feel good for Michigan, you know, and Harbaugh and all that. I agree with both of you, by the way, both. But why does it have to be at the expense of Ohio State this year? I just wanted one year where it wasn't Alabama in the dream matchup. You know, Georgia defense, Ohio State's offense, I wanted to see it, but alas – it is not to be. Either, neither, or both. Lincoln Riley, Billy Napier to win the national championship with their new school, SC Florida.
Either, and I think it's going to be USC. Billy Napier is certainly a good coach. I've been knowing him, gosh, when he was at Arizona State back in 2017, 2016, when he was the quarterback offensive coordinator over there. But USC, it's an easier path. There's talent that's there. You know, it's a quarterback factory. Lincoln Riley's done a tremendous job at recruiting Southern California in general. I think Oklahoma had something like 3 or 4 commits from Southern California right now at Oklahoma, and all of them are decommitting, which probably means that they're probably going to wind up staying home and going to USC. He just needs to make sure that if he's bringing in Alex Grinch as his defensive coordinator, that he ain't giving up Big 12 numbers. You know how it'd be 65-64 shootouts. We can't have that at USC. Can't have it.
Jay, Napier or either, neither, or both, or Lincoln Riley.
Is it Napier now?
Napier.
Or is it Napier? Or?
No, it's not Napier, and it's not Napier, and Key said Napier. It's Napier. Napier. Yeah. It's split the difference. It's Napier.
Yeah. Why were you looking at me and saying Napier? Mean? What were you trying to?
What
are you trying to do, Max?
What were you talking about?
What are you trying to do?
I'm trying to take a nap, I guess. I don't know.
And I have no hair to even talk about.
Yeah, yeah. What are you talking about, Nappy? What are you looking bald headed?
Come on, Max. I wish I could mess around and get canceled.
You brought it up. Yeah, good.
I'll go with Lincoln Riley. I think. Look, who knows what Caleb Williams is going to do? Talk about this transfer portal and one of the top quarterbacks. I mean, he went there to go behind Spencer Rattler, got the job.
Now we got QBs. That's what we don't need.
What's saying he might not want to go there? I don't know.
No, we got QBs, man. We got.
So you're saying
Dark.
You wouldn't take Caleb Williams if he decided
to come? No. That's not what I said. Okay. I just said we got QBs. So
unfortunately, they play all over the country, Key. You got QBs in Southern California, but they play all over the country. Not anymore. I don't think they're going all over the country anymore. You don't want to miss Rex Ryan coming up in 20 minutes, talking all things NFL. Plus, big weekend for Jay and Key's alma maters. Mm-hmm. That's next. Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack your 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th, one-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
All right, this is from A to Z, both of Key and Jay's alma maters. These are two legends at these institutions. Legends. That's why they went so high in the draft, professional draft. Keyshawn Johnson and Jay Williams. Well, Jay, let's start with you. The number 5 Duke Blue Devils knocked off number 1 Gonzaga Friday, winning 84-81. Paolo Banchero scored 21 points on 8 of 17 from the field. The loss was Gonzaga's first in the regular season since February 22nd, 2020, when the Bulldogs fell at BYU. Jay, your takeaway from your alma mater's upset win.
Duke is the best team in the country. They're the most talented team in the country. And Chet Holmgren, a lot of people have talked about him being potentially first pick in the draft. I saw Paolo Banchero literally take that position due to the physicality he had in the game. Now, maybe the upside for Chet, you might think a little bit higher, but Paolo's a very special type player. You combine that with the way Wendell Moore played. You combine that with the way Mark Williams, who is considered to be another top 10 NBA draft pick in this upcoming draft, who locked down Drew Timmy down the stretch. The defense, the talent that they play with, Duke should be in a national championship game. I know it's easier said than done, because going through March Madness is crazy, but that could be a Final Four preview of what we saw. But Duke is the most talented team in the country.
Duke's looking for a new football coach, and we're talking about Duke basketball. Yes. I thought we were going to talk about David Cutcliffe. Jeez.
By the way, when you give Coach K, in his final year coaching, the most talented team in the country, it almost goes from a situation where you're like, ooh, it's going to be a problem, to kind of the pressure's on Coach K now. You know, like, it's not just a farewell tour where, hey, winning a national title would be this amazing thing. Oh, my God. It's a thing where, like, the expectations are there given the talent on the team, Jay.
But I tell you, you know, he loves pressure. He loves it. He doesn't – there's pressure on him every year to win an ACC championship or to win a national championship. And I don't think he would ask for it any other way, regardless of whether this was his last year or first year, Max.
Meantime, from a Duke legend talking about Duke to an SC legend talking about SC, Lincoln Riley leaving Oklahoma to become the USC head coach. Lincoln Riley guided the Sooners to 4 consecutive Big 12 titles and 3 college football playoff appearances in his first 4 seasons. You heard it on SportsCenter. Stats Incredible is brought to you by My Computer Career, Training for a Better Life. Riley will be introduced by USC on Monday. Here's what Dan Orlovsky told us about the hire.
It's the biggest college football hire since Nick Saban. You get to sit with college coaches and you talk with them, and you could sometimes walk out and you go, that dude's different. Lincoln Riley, the first time I sat down and talked with him, I said, that guy's different.
Key, what do you think of this hire from your school? What does it do to the expectations for the Trojans?
Well, the expectations are going to be huge regardless, right? No matter who it was that was coming in, the expectations are going to go through the roof, because that's just what we expect. We expect to be at the top, and that's why we went out and hit it, you know, what we would call a home run hire based on the coaches that was available. And I know a lot of people didn't know that this was coming down the pipeline. It was a little bit of a shocker to their system. Everybody had him basically going to LSU or staying home. And when he said that he's not going to LSU, he didn't say he wasn't going to USC. And I tell people this all the time. When you look at USC and the storied program and the tradition and everything that goes with USC, there's only about five, maybe six programs in college football that rival USC. And what I mean by that is you're never going to leave those programs to go to another program. And those programs are like Texas and Alabama, Ohio State, USC, Notre Dame, and Michigan. That's it. You would leave other programs to go to USC. You know, you look at it and you go, why would you leave Oklahoma, that great program in the history and tradition, to go to USC? Because it's US damn C. What do you mean? You're looking at driving to work every day. You're looking at horses and cows. You come to Southern California, you're looking at the beach, the sun. Think about it.
They got horses and cows in L.A. too. They got a lot of stuff in L.A.
Yeah, but where he's driving from.
Don't pass any cows?
He ain't passing no horses no and cows, buddy.
No cows.
I promise you that.
That's not a bad thing to have horses and cows. And
no, it's not. It's not a bad thing. But my point is
L.A.'s got everything you want within. You get in your car for an hour in any direction, you find the whole world there. You got the whole world there.
Absolutely. And when they came a-calling, it wasn't hard to convince him to take the job of USC.
Key,
it's an easy situation.
What's the time expectation on where you want to see the program at the end of next year? What would you like to be talking at the end of next year? Where would you guys stand that would make you feel like you're going in the right direction?
Well, first of all, you got two main jobs. The two main things that he has to do is he has to beat Notre Dame and UCLA. That's the start. Winning the Pac-12 is a start. Win the Pac-12, beat UCLA and Notre Dame, and then we go from there.
So you're saying all that first year?
100%.
Okay.
This ain't no rebuild. This is not a rebuild. It's a reset.
What I love
talent
about
– Talent is there.
What I love
they got
about –
plenty of talent. Got to coach it up.
You guys talking about this stuff is, you know, key All-American, won a Super Bowl, but in college All-American and – went number one overall in the draft. Jay won a national title, was the college player of the year. I think the next year after you won the national title, right? Mm-hmm. You were also college player. These are
number two
legends.
I hate you, Yates.
Yeah, by the way, Jay's misfortune
number
was
number one in North America, Yates.
Was to be drafted number the same one. Year as a 7'6" Chinese player, where not only was he a 7'6" baller, but also could open up a huge market for the NBA. And Jay gets drafted that year and all has to hear about it for the rest of his life.
Number two. The heat is on.
Yeah, by the way, Jay, that's right. I'm going to tease you too because I did not get drafted number two. Only you got drafted number two on this show.
Fair. You wouldn't have got drafted number 200.
I didn't get drafted at all.
2000.
I was undrafted. I was an undrafted.
Have you ever seen Max dribble a ball?
I'm still an undrafted free agent, as
a
matter of fact.
No, but now I need to see Max dribble a ball.
Oh, no, it's not good. We're presented by Progressive Insurance and all phone guests on the Goodyear Hotline. ESPN NFL analyst Rex Ryan. Jay, if I'm dribbling with my left hand, my eye's on the ball. Okay. See what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like if I'm not taking my head up.
You're staring
up to
down at the ball.
If I'm dribbling with my left, that's right.
Very 1934.
And I'm left-handed. No, I'm not left-handed, but that would be fun.
Very 1934 basketball.
No question. Football. No, yeah, right.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRICEbikes.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80. Rex Ryan, ESPN NFL analyst, joins us in studio to give you the straight talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise, and Rex gives you the straight talk.
Sexy Rex.
He gives you so much straight talk, sometimes he has to make a phone call in the middle of the week just because of the straight talk he's giving you.
I tell you what.
There's no media BS with Rex.
No, there is all right. Not.
The Patriots... Coach, they continued. They just stayed hot yesterday. Six in a row.
Yeah.
Are they the best team in the AFC right now?
Man, oh, man. I mean, I get it where people are coming from. I really do. But and here's the scary thing, because I can't give you a definitive answer. I don't want them to be the best, but here's what I do know, and here's what I trust. I trust in Bill Belichick, and I think he's done an amazing job. I think it's the best coaching job he's ever done. But his defense, number one in the league again, that's five times a Bill Belichick coached team has been number one in the NFL in defense. And by the way, five other times they were number two in the league.
So you as head always, coach.
As a head coach. And obviously the last 5 years I haven't been around, so he's got a lot more ones. But when you're looking at it, like that's what you can trust. The other thing you can trust is that he knows how to handle a quarterback. And he doesn't ask his guy to do things that he can't do. And Mac Jones looks like a vet. Now, look, he could have thrown a pick six in that game. We all get that type of stuff. But he's got him playing like a dang 10-year veteran, and it makes me sick.
But, Rex, you said you don't know how he's doing it, right? No, you do know.
I do.
You know how you know? Because this is the same thing he used to do to you. Play defense, a quarterback that's not going to ask him a whole lot to do in Tom Brady. But at the same time, can run the ball when he needed to, make everything nice and easy, make you make the mistakes, and they stay nice and clean. And this is why I think they are the head of the class in the AFC, because when you look at the AFC, Rex, who are you afraid of?
Yeah, but I'm not afraid of New England. This team, I would have loved to have played this team. I can just tell you, this ain't the same team. This isn't when I was facing them and they had Tom Brady and they had a Gronkowski and they had a Wes Welker, an Edelman, a Randy Moss, you name it. The list goes on and on, even Aaron Hernandez, and all these type of people. This ain't the same team. I would have beat this team to sleep if I was coaching them back then. I'm just telling you what I do know, his defense, though, is what's carrying the day. Nobody's talking about it. They're all talking about Mac Jones, and I get it. The guy's playing well. There's no question about it. But it's their defense. And they're the ones that are consistent every single week you see it, and that's why they're winning these games. So that's what I trust. But if you guys, anybody thinks that these are the same teams, that this team can compete with all those other teams with New England, no. You had the greatest player in the history of the game in his prime
playing quarterback, and that's not where Mac Jones is right now.
Well, a lot of people always kind of lump those names together with how he's playing his rookie year, but like, how do you think he will play down the stretch, Rex? No, because that's what I was talking to Max about. The amount of pressure, it's one thing as a rookie to be like, okay, I'm out here, I'm doing my thing, I'm in a great system, but when you start going down the stretch, when it's now, all right, Super Bowl contenders,
right,
like that's the label we're putting on your team now. That's weight to carry.
No, it is, but this – fortunately for them, this young man's had that pressure when he was at Alabama. So I think he's going to handle it a hell of a lot better than most rookies. Like, let's say, how many rookies actually get their team to a championship game? And I mean, it's hard as hell, you know. And so, but this guy has got the makeup to get through those type of things. Now, we'll see what happens when a team sits back and says, no, has a blueprint to beat them. Like Indianapolis, they come into the game. They have the talent, you know, to beat a New England team. You know, they do. They have that kind of talent. Baltimore finds ways, but they run the football. They do some things. Look, if Tennessee has a healthy Derrick Henry and a healthy, you know, Brown, they have a chance to beat this team. So we're going to find out, you know, but I think we're going to find out next Monday, who really is the best team in the AFC East.
Nope.
And that's when it's all going to be settled then, and that'll be up for a different conversation.
There is something about Mac Jones. Like, there are players who talent-wise shouldn't have been the best, like Tom Brady or Derek Jeter. But you always got the feeling from the very beginning they thought, I'm always the best player on the field. There's something about Mac Jones on the low. I think he believes that. I don't think the moment's going to be too big for him.
Yep.
But what about the NFC, Coach? Who's the best team in the NFC right now?
Well, it dang sure ain't the Rams, is it? Like, that's the thing. I bet on those dudes. I never bet on them, but I picked the Rams three games in a row and got beat all three games.
Too.
So I don't know anything about that. I mean, how the hell they can't beat Green Bay with three starting offensive linemen out and their two best defensive players out, and they get drug in that game. But it's – so you have to say Green Bay is that team. And I can't believe that I'm saying it, but they've earned it. And I tell you what, they've earned it on the backs of their defense.
Mm.
This is the fifth-ranked defense in the National Football League. When, hey, I was ready to kill him. When they fired Pettine, who's one of my guys, and I'm like, wow, what are you doing firing him? You're bringing in this Joe Barry who's been awful in the league before. Well, you know what? He learned some things. So they're much better on defense than I even thought they would be.
Yeah. What about the Bucs?
Yeah, well, I mean, the Bucs, look, come playoff time, I'm taking Tom Brady. I don't care about the rest of them. I'm taking Tom Brady. You know, that's simple as that. I think
and he has a loaded roster, Coach. Coach, like, they have guys, like, oh, A.B. and Godwin aren't going to play, so he only has Mike Evans and Gronk, right? Like, he always has multiple targets, guys to run the ball, an offensive line. He's just got a lot of stuff.
His best offensive lineman was out, Ali Marpet. He was out. Well, guess what? He's playing, you know, when he gets healthy, that you're exactly right, Max. And until, you know, if you have Tom Brady on your team, you're defending champs. Like, they're going to be impossible to bet against.
Yeah.
Mm. Rex, the Ravens won last night despite Lamar Jackson throwing four interceptions. What's the biggest reason for his struggles, and why couldn't Cleveland convert any of those turnovers into points?
Well, I think that's a real positive for Baltimore because, look, they knew they matched up, you know, with Cleveland. Like, they can D you up, and if that happens, the Ravens are scary on defense. Okay? Now, we saw last time they played Cincinnati, they couldn't match up. So that's a different story. But against Cleveland, they can match up. I mean, they held them to 40 yards rushing. So it was about that Baltimore defense too. But, yeah, when you can win a game when your quarterback throws four interceptions, like how the hell you do it? Well, you do it with great defense, and you do it with the greatest kicker maybe in the history of the game. So maybe that's how they continue to do it. The other thing they do is they convert on short yardage, and I don't think fans realize how critical it is. You look at Green Bay, what's the difference from them now? They have that A.J. Dillon who looks like dang Earl Campbell legs, you know, and he can convert on short yardage situations. In the playoffs, that's what you have to do. So that's kind of some of the hidden things you look for. Baltimore's as good as anybody in those situations.
Coach, we have 15 seconds. Yep. Anything from the Giants or Jets that you have to say? Like a big takeaway?
Yeah, big takeaway is where the hell has this defense been for the Jets? They were relentless. They had five quarterback sacks. held the team to 200 total yards or whatever it was. And then the Giants played defense, had three interceptions in the game. But I will say this. The best player on the field for the Giants was Jalen Reagor. That dude stinks. And I'm sorry about that, Philadelphia Eagles. But nice job.
One NFL team might have buyer's remorse. Keyshawn, J. Willa Max, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80. Thanks, Coach.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.